Seated. Open your Bibles with me. Let's go to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, if you would. And go with me to chapter 2 here. He says here, John writing this, he says, if you study it out, you find out that John was caught up into the third heaven and brought in, carried in the Spirit. He says unto the, and the, Jesus is speaking to him here, he says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Here we have a message to the church, and God is messaging, and here's what he's telling the church here at Ephesus. He says, you know, you've been doing good. And everything's been going pretty good, but all of a sudden now we find out, he said, you got off on the wrong track. He left your first love. See, we can get so busy doing things, and even though they were doing things for God, we can get so busy that we forget about God. We forget sometimes, you know, even in the church, I find you have to be careful because you can get so busy doing church stuff that you forget why you're doing church stuff. And you can get so busy with life that you're forgetting who's blessed you with that life. So he says, you know, I've got something against you. He said, you've left your first love. You've got off on the wrong road. And notice here that he says, you've got to realize that you're off. You see, if you don't realize that you're off, then you can't get back on. Come on, if you don't realize that you're in trouble. So he says, repent. And do the first works. Repent. That word repent, it literally in the Greek means to think differently or to consider what's going on. You see, what he's telling him here is you need to think differently about how you're doing things with God. And every one of us, we need to always consider ourselves. We always need to give ourselves spiritual checkups for us to look and see where we stand with God. And you know, here's the thing. Once we realize that we're going in the wrong direction, if we are, guess what we need to do? Turn around. That the word repent also, if you study it out, means to turn around and go a different direction. So you don't just apologize to God and keep doing the same thing. Repent means I ask you to forgive me, God, for getting off track, and now I'm going to get back on track. So I'm turning around and going the other way. You know, if you're not sure what's the right way, then you need to ask directions. Right? I know us men, we're kind of bad at that. We don't ask directions too much. We kind of like to, you know, we're men. We know where we're going. I personally, and we'll talk about it a little bit, but I thank God for maps. I don't know about you on your phone, Google Maps and GPSs, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But we need to ask where we're going. And Jeremiah, look over here with me in the book of Jeremiah. Let me show you something here. Jeremiah chapter 6, and look at verse 16. Here's what he says. He says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. When it's talking about standing in the ways, it's talking about you're standing in a crossroad. And so here in this, he says, you're standing here, you need to ask for the old past. Let me just tell you something right now. No matter how modern the church thinks it's getting, no matter how educated people think they are and how smart they think they've gotten, no matter how much AI comes along, here's one thing for certain. There is not a new path to God. There is not a new path to God. Jesus made the way, and the path is still good. You see, a lot of folks are trying to find other ways and trying to find new things so they can think, say, well, this is something new for us. Listen, folks, here's what you do. And this happens a lot in marriages, and the same thing happens in church. You know, a lot of marriages, folks get divorced because they say, we just fell out of love. Well, see, what happens is you just quit loving each other. What I mean by that is you need to stir up your relationship. Come on. In other words, you need to act like you just got married again. See, because what happens is you kind of get used to each other. Right? I didn't plan on doing this. Somebody maybe needs this. You start planning, you get used to each other, and after a while, instead of you acting like you're in love, all of a sudden you're just friends. And after a while, then your friendship kind of gets a little stale. And the first thing you know, then you're like, well, I need to do something to spice up my life. And the first thing you know, you're in trouble. And the truth is, you ought to spice up your relationship with your spouse and you won't have to worry about divorce. I know that goes over like a lead balloon, but that's the truth, just the same. Can I tell you it's the same way with your spiritual life? You need to spice up your spiritual life with Jesus. Come on, Paul told Timothy, who was a pastor, he said, you need to stir up the gift that's on the inside of you. Some folks need to stir themselves up. They're trying to get themselves excited and be entertained by the world. But I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing greater than having a stirred up experience with Jesus. Some of you need a fresh dose of the Holy Ghost. Some of you need a dose of the Holy Ghost for the first time. Come on, we need to be stirred in the Spirit. We need to stir ourselves up because I'm telling you, there's a stirring going on in the spirit realm. But if you don't stir yourself up, you're not going to be part of that. Notice here, he says, you know, you ask for the old path and then you walk therein. But notice some of them said, we're not going to walk in that. See that? Some folks said, even though this is the right path, this is the path to walk in, we're not going to walk in that. Think about that one for just a minute. See, here's the thing, folks. When we understand that we're not walking in the right path, we've got to be smart enough to realize I've got to do something different. Right. You know, I'd talk about it a little bit. When you use your GPS, and again, I thank God for mine. I don't know about you all. You know, I mean, I had a GPS before the phone started doing it. But, you know, if you set that thing and tell it where you want it to go, it'll map that out for you. And it'll have turn-by-turn directions all the way to get you to your destination. And here's the thing. Anybody ever pulled off at a service station or something to get some gas or pull off at a restaurant or whatever? Immediately, that thing starts talking to you. And it starts, you know, a lot of times it'll say, turn around when possible. Why? Because you're on the wrong road. You're going the wrong way. Can I tell you that you have a built-in GPS when it comes to God? And He's called the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost that's living on the inside of you will instruct you if you will listen. Now, you don't have to listen to your GPS. You can say, well, I know better what it does. Has anybody ever done that before? Have you decided, I think this is the right way. I think that thing's off. Come on. Sometimes we kind of, you know, get ourselves there. I think it's off. I mean, you know. Sometimes we don't listen when it tells us to do things and it'll reroute us. Anybody ever been rerouted? Chuck and Scotty and I went fishing one day and we were down in Tennessee and it was the first time we'd ever been to that place, and so we followed the GPS in. Okay. So I thought, well, that's pretty simple. We can get back out of here. So when we left out of there, we were talking and we never turned the GPS back on to come out or the phone back on. And all of a sudden I realized we're in some new territory here, guys. Anybody remember this place? No, I don't remember that building. Oh, I don't remember. Anybody been there? Come on now. I don't remember this place here. So then we decided we're going to turn on the GPS. So it's taken us, And, of course, we're miles out of the way, and we get up through there, and we're talking again, and the thing's telling us to turn off, and we're still talking, and we miss our turn off again. And it's telling us, but we're not listening. And I thought it said, this is a similar ETA. And apparently it was. The only difference was, the first turn that we missed took us out onto the big road, the interstate, to where we could have just buzzed right down through. And we took the alternate route. And we were pulling a boat, and all of a sudden we find ourselves going across the mountain. Narrow roads. I mean, nowhere to turn. There was nowhere to turn around. And we just kept going, hoping. We had to trust it now. Because we're lost now. If it don't know where we're going, we don't know where we're going. Okay? And so we follow it through, and finally it brought us back out on 23 down there somewhere. We'd never been that way before. But if we'd have listened the first time, we wouldn't have done that. You see, and the Holy Ghost, He'll tell you. But you can decide to do it yourself if you want to. But I promise you, you don't want to have to go that way. Come on. Because the Holy Ghost is going to take you the right way. He's going to keep you on the right path. So when you ask God, Lord, lead me, help me, guide me, it doesn't mean always. Now, I'll be honest with you. In the natural, with a GPS before, I've had it take me the shortest route, and I've ended up on some dirt roads before. Anybody ever done some of that? You know, you end up in some place, you're like, man, this can't be right. But it was shorter, and it got me there. You know, sometimes the Holy Ghost is going to take you down a dirt road. What I mean by it, I mean, there's times that even at the direction of God, you're going to go through some things that it just don't look right. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why this is going on. But the truth is, God is taking you to the place He wants you to be. And sometimes that means we go through some things. And you have to make sure that you're listening, because if you're not, you'll turn around. Right? And see, you've got to be careful, because if you turn around and go back the other way, then you're going the long way round rather than God's got a way for you. See, you got to be careful. And people get excited about things, and they're not willing to wait God out and give Him a chance to do what God does. And so when we see ourselves going the wrong way, go turn around, go the right way. But listen to what God's saying. Now, we've been having, I thought about this really when I was talking about turning around. We've been having how many knows we're having an extreme lot of rain this spring? We've had record flooding and all those kind of things. You know, roads covered up. And what is the golden rule for a flooded road? Turn around, don't drown. Right? Everybody knows it, but almost every time there's a flood and roads are covered, somebody ends up getting drowned. You know why they end up getting drowned? Because they decide they can drive through that when nobody else ain't. See, that's, again, I want to apply this spiritually. What makes you think that you can get through that without God? Why? See, people, they'll look at that and say, well, I can drive through that. That ain't no problem. They get out in the thing and they get washed away. They should have turned around. If you see yourselves going down the wrong road, understand you're not going to make it. Without God, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without God, you've got to understand you're not going to make it. You're going to die. You have to have God in your life. You have to have God's plan in your life if you want to make it. Got to understand that. And so we have to look at ourselves and say, you know what? I'm going to do what God says, and I'm going to follow what God says. If He says turn around, I'm going to turn around. If He says keep on driving, I'm going to keep on driving. Because Jesus is the only way that we're going to get to heaven. It's only through and by Him. He's the only way. Let me show you that. Go over to John chapter 10 with me. John chapter 10. And I want to read verse 1 here. Look what he says. John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. You see that? Now look at verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Notice that. Listen, you cannot choose your way to heaven. You have to go the way. And Jesus is the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that. He said it in John 14:16. And he goes on and says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, I don't care what Oprah says. I don't care what anybody else says, what other folks are saying. It doesn't matter what anybody says. There is only one way. One road to heaven. And that is through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by making Him your Lord and Savior. By believing what He did on the cross. God's plan of salvation. For Him to die on a cross, be placed in a tomb, and be raised again on the third day. By believing that and confessing Him as your Lord. That's the only way you're going to get to heaven. You don't get to choose how you go. See, a lot of folks think that they're going to choose and they're going to do what they want to do. The way's already been chosen, folks. God's already done all He's going to do about making you a way to go to heaven, but you have to choose that way and choose to go that way. You know, I really think that maybe pride is probably one of the biggest reasons that people don't choose or choose to keep staying on down that wrong road. Pride in our lives. You say, well, no, I don't think it's really pride. Yes, it is. See, because what happens is, in order to be born again, you're submitting yourself to God. You're submitting yourself to His Lordship. And you're saying, Father, I'll be a disciple to You. I'll be a servant to You. And a lot of folks are, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I'm making it just fine. I don't need God or don't need nobody else. I'm doing just fine. I promise you, the only reason you're doing what you're doing is because God's given you the ability to be able to do it. You just don't know it. You just don't understand that. So when you just realize and see that God gives you the very breath you breathe, it's time to come down off the high horse and say, you know what? Yeah, I got to have God because He gives me every breath that I breathe. You see, but that means we got to swallow our pride. We got to humble ourselves, and we got to realize, you know, maybe I am on the wrong road. Maybe I better turn around. Maybe I better accept Jesus Christ before it's too late. It's sad that a lot of good people have gone to hell just because of pride. A lot of good people have gone to hell because they refused to say, I'm wrong, I need Jesus in my life to make me right. Amen. Let me show you something over here. Go with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And let's look at verse 9 here. It says, and He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Look at this. It's a perfect example of one person with pride and one person with humility. Notice here that the Bible says that this was a parable, he said, to certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Man, we got so many self-righteous people. We got self-righteous folks in the church. And of course, we got self-righteous folks in the world that think they don't need Jesus. But he spoke to those that trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Now, notice that it says that the Pharisee, when he prayed, he said he prayed thus with himself. You know what that means? It means his prayer never went past him. See, when you're thinking you don't need God, or you're thinking that you're all that in a bag of chips, you better be looking and understanding that everything that you have and everything that you'll ever be comes from God. Notice here that he goes, starts talking about all the things, going through motions. Can I tell you something? Going through spiritual motions does not make you righteous. Come on. Just being a member of a church. Notice this guy said, I'm a tither. I'm a faster. I do all this stuff. I'm not even like this old publican over here. He was comparing himself how much better he was than the publican, somebody else. Notice that. See, there's a lot of pride that we see. And a lot of times people have so much pride that they won't admit that they're not where they need to be. This Pharisee would have never admit, because he's a spiritual leader. He would never admit that he wasn't where he needed to be with God. He wanted to say all the things he was doing for God. If you don't have a relationship with God, then it's a waste of time to do things for God. Remember, Jesus said, why call you me the Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say to do? We need to make sure we're doing what the Word of God says and keeping ourselves in line with what God says to do. Notice that the publican here, he knew that he was wrong. And here's the thing. He had the humility to tell God, be merciful on me, I'm wrong. I got a problem. See, God loves us so much. He's just waiting on us to repent. He's just waiting on us to ask Him to forgive us. He's just waiting on us to admit we need His help. See, He's a gentleman. God is a gentleman. He's not going to butt in where He's not wanted. The Bible says that this publican, this according to the Pharisee, this nobody over here, went down to his house justified more than the Pharisee. In other words, the publican who said he was a sinner was more righteous than the Pharisee who said he was all that. You see, it's not about what you think about yourself, it's what God thinks about you. And you know exactly where you're at. The Pharisee knew all this, but he's trying to brag himself up. He's praying. And here's the thing. The Bible talks about how the Pharisees a lot of times would pray so that people could hear them pray. They wanted to be heard of the crowd. Listen to him. What a spiritual prayer. If it's not coming from the heart, it's not going past your head. He prayed with himself. But the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we need to make sure that we humble ourselves when we understand and know we're not where we need to be. We ask God to forgive us and get back. See, that's the wonderful thing. The good news of the gospel is when we mess up, when we get ourselves in a bad shape, and sometimes we do, the wonderful thing about the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sin. And that He's always there. He's our advocate. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous. He is there for us to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's good news to know that if we've messed up, we have Jesus there to forgive us and get us back on the right track. I don't know about you, but when I've been traveling before and I did get myself lost and ended up somewhere, always when I got back to a road that I recognized. Anybody ever do that? You go, whew, now I know where I'm at. Right? Come on. Now I know where I'm at. I recognize that. But, oh yeah, I know where I'm at now. It's so wonderful in the spirit realm to once again be able to go, whew, everything's all right now. I know where I'm at. I'm back right with you. Things are good now. I don't have to worry when I lay down. I realize and know that I got myself where I need to be. But sometimes people, they just don't want to hear because they'd rather believe the lies. Go over here with me to 1 Timothy. Let me show you something over here. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at that. It says that, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What's he say here? He's saying, listen, Here's what happens. People get themselves in trouble by listening to the wrong things sometimes. Let me give that scripture to you here out of the Message Bible. It says, the Spirit makes it clear that as time goes on, some are going to give up on the faith and chase after demonic illusions put forth by professional liars. Notice that. You can't believe everything you see on TV, on your social media, or wherever. Just because somebody's there does not mean they're giving you the truth. It means they had the money to pay for that spot. That's all that matters. It can be a cult, it can be a devil. And they, as long as they pay for it, they can tell you. But it depends on what you're listening to. It calls them professional liars. Verse 2 says, these liars have lied so well and for so long, they've lost their capacity for the truth. See, here's the thing about this. If you listen to what's wrong long enough, it becomes your truth. Think about that for a minute. If you keep hearing this all over and over and over, it becomes your truth. Why? Because it becomes something you believe. In the world we're living in now, people will try to get you to believe something when you're looking at it with your own eyes. You can see the difference, but they're trying to get you to believe it some other way. No, this is what you saw, that didn't really happen that way. We need you to believe this. And it's amazing how many people do. I'm still amazed by some of the things that goes on that people believe when you can see it with your own eyes. But you see, it all depends on what you want to believe. See, you can believe that there is no God. You can believe that you don't need God and we want to die and it don't matter anyway. But I'm going to tell you, that's a lie. The truth is, you better not leave this earth without Jesus in your life, because there is a real heaven where God lives and has made a place for us. And there is a real hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels, and it wasn't prepared for you, but you have to choose to go to heaven or you go to hell. I know hell is not a popular subject. You don't hear much preaching on it because it's not politically popular or correct, but it's still the truth. And you can choose whether you're going to believe the truth or you can believe a lie. I'm going to continue to hear the truth and believe the truth. How about you? Sometimes, I heard all my life, the truth never hurt nobody. That's not true. That's a lie itself. Sometimes the truth will cut you to the bone. But here's the thing. You've got to have the humility to say, yes, that's true. I may have been wrong. That's true. I was wrong. But I'm going to repent and get it right. What you said is truth about me, but I'm going to change what I said my way or whatever it is I need to do. You've got to be able to have that if you want to make sure that you stay on the right road. Come on. There ain't nothing worse than having your wife tell you you're going the wrong way. Right? Come on, men. We're driving and the wife says, I think you're going down the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. Nope. I know where I'm going. Right? Till you find out you got to turn around. And of course, then it's what? I told you you was going. I knew it. I knew you. Right? Pastor Ed, like she's on the road, she's not, I don't have to worry about it too much. It's when we go into a building in hospitals and stuff. Anybody else besides me have trouble sometimes navigating hospitals? Come on. I mean, you go in there and sometimes, they meet you, the people there working there, they'll meet you and take you where you want to go, and then you've got to get back. Right? Maybe some of those big hospitals, I'll tell you, they twist and turn and carry on and whatever. And Pastor Ed will say, no, you got to go this way. I'll say, you sure? Yeah, follow me. I'll get you out of here. Okay, baby. I trust you. And so she'll get us out of there, But the thing is, I have to admit, she knows it and I don't. See, we got to admit that God knows and we don't. And He's always telling us the truth. And He's always leading us in the right way. And He's not going to lie to us, folks. He loves us so much. He wants only good for us. It's amazing how long we wait before we get saved sometimes because we think that what we're doing is better than what God's got for us. But the Bible plainly teaches us that every good gift, and it comes down from heaven, from the Father. Every good gift does. And God doesn't ever change. And He always makes it to where He wants to bring blessing to our lives, but we've got to be willing to accept it. And sometimes that means we've got to humble ourselves. And I realize, just this past week, you know, I believe what the Word says, and I believe on blessing and how God wants you to bless people, and God will bless them through you and bless you for blessing them. And there was somebody trying to bless me, and I said, no, now I'm not going to do it. They looked at me and said, you've got to practice what you preach. What can I do? And I said, you're right. Okay, go for it. Just lay it on it, you know. And thank you very much, praise God, you know, for blessing me. And Lord bless them because they bless me. But we got to be careful that we don't listen to lies, folks, and get ourselves all messed up. You know, there are going to be people that just don't want to hear the truth. You just got to realize that. The Second Thessalonians tells us that they'll believe a lie. And God lets them believe that lie because they've decided they don't want the truth. And so we've got to learn that no matter what the lie is, we can't believe it. No matter how good it sounds like it is, you can't believe it. But the Word of God will always be the truth that you stand on. And if you stand on the Word of God, stand for truth, then because we believe, we're going to receive salvation, and that salvation is going to get us to heaven. Here's the thing. I'm going to close with this. If you find yourself going the wrong way, going away from God, get back on the road and stay on the road. Stay there till you reach your destination. There's not a place to turn to the left or the right. You stay on track with God. And I promise you, you're going to live a blessed life. And one of these days, you're going to have an eternity in heaven with God. And that's the good news of the gospel. Make sure you make Jesus the Lord of your life. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Father, I pray right now, Lord God, that you speak to every heart, Father God. Every person in this room right now knows where they're at with you.